Chapter 5. To Uncle Scrooge. Scrooge and the spirit found themselves on the streets again. By this time it was getting dark and snowing quite heavily, and as they walked along, the brightness of the fires in the kitchens and living rooms was wonderful. Christmas was in the air, there was no doubt about it. And now, without a word of warning from the ghost, they stood upon an empty field, where lots of stones were around. It looked like a graveyard for giants. Down in the west, the sun was going down fast, its light changing from golden yellow to red. A few moments later, it looked at this untouched view for a second like a silent eye, and going lower, lower, lower again, until darkness fell over the world like a cold blanket.
"What place is this?" asked Scrooge.
"A place where miners live who work in the earth," answered the spirit.
"But they recognize me, see?"
A light shone from the window of a hut, and quickly they moved towards it. Passing through the wall of mud and stone, they found a cheerful group of people sitting around a bright fire. An old man and woman, and their children, and their children's children, and another generation again, all dressed brightly in their holiday clothes. The old man was singing them a Christmas song. It had been a very old song even when he was a boy, and from time to time they all sang with him. It seemed as if they sang in time with the wind's own music outside. The spirit did not stay, but asked Scrooge to hold his coat, and high above the land flew. Where? Not to sea. To sea. They flew past ships, they flew past lighthouses, they flew past islands. But wherever they saw human life, even on the seas, the story of Christmas was being told and retold. Every man either sang a Christmas carol, or had a Christmas thought, or spoke quietly to his companion of some past Christmas day. At last they landed on land itself, and again, suddenly, Scrooge found himself in a country house he did not recognize. There was, however, something about the place which he recognized.
"Ha ha!" laughed a voice he knew well. "Ha ha ha!"
It was the voice of Scrooge's nephew. The room where they were in was bright, dry, and warm. Scrooge turned around and found the spirit standing by his side, he too smiling. Everybody, even those without bodies, felt the cheerfulness in the room.
"Ha ha 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 ha!"
"He said that Christmas was a humbug, as I live," cried Scrooge's nephew. "He believed it, too."
"How sad, Fred,"
said Scrooge's niece, a little angry. She was pretty, very pretty, too. Scrooge had never met his niece, had never found the time to visit, had never accepted his nephew's kind invitations. And now, seeing the good times he had missed, and the good times he was missing, Scrooge felt a deep pain in his heart.
"He's a funny old man," said Scrooge's nephew. "That's the truth. And not as friendly as he could be, I feel."
"I'm sure he's very rich, Fred," suggested Scrooge's niece.
"At least you always tell me so." "But do you think that money helps him?" said Scrooge's nephew. "It is useless to him. He doesn't do any good with it. He doesn't even make his own life comfortable with it."
"I have no patience with him," said Scrooge's niece.
"Oh, I have," said Scrooge's nephew. "I am sorry for him. I couldn't be angry with him if I tried. Who really suffers from his greed? Who really suffers from his selfishness? He does, always."
"What makes you think he cares?" asked Scrooge's niece.
"Well, take his Christmas. He doesn't visit us,
and he certainly doesn't visit anyone else. I believe that because of this, he loses some very nice moments in life. I am also sure that his thoughts could never give him the friendship we all need, either in his cold office or in his dark rooms. I would like to give him the same chance every year, whether he likes it or not, because I feel sorry for him. He may think Christmas a humbug, as he says, but I am sure that he can't stop thinking about it, especially if he sees me in a good mood year after year and saying, "Uncle Scrooge, how are you?" "I suppose you're right," said Scrooge's niece. "Here is a glass to his health and happiness anyway," said Scrooge's nephew, raising a glass of warm wine for his uncle. "I hope that he may one day find the happiness that belongs to us all. To Uncle Scrooge!" "Well, to Uncle Scrooge," she agreed, doing the same. "A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to the old man, wherever he is," said Scrooge's nephew. Scrooge suddenly had a strange feeling of warmth as he heard these words. Words of hope, words of love. If only he could thank them for their thoughts and for their toast. If the ghost had given him time. Instead, the whole scene disappeared before his very eyes, and Scrooge once again found himself travelling. They saw much more, the spirit and he, and travelled far too. But the end was always the same, happy. The spirits stood by sick beds, and they were cheerful. By hard-working men, and they were patient. By poverty, and it was rich. Wherever they went, love seemed greater than all life's worries put together. This truly was a world where love could rule, Scrooge thought, and win. Scrooge saw all this in only one night, but it seemed like forever. He noticed, too, that while he stayed the same, the spirit appeared to grow older, clearly older.
"Are spirits' lives so short?" asked Scrooge.
"My life upon this world is very brief," replied the ghost. "It ends tonight."
"Tonight?"
cried Scrooge. "Tonight at midnight. Our time together is coming to an end." And almost as soon as the spirit had said this, the bell rang 12. They were back in Scrooge's bedroom now. Scrooge turned and looked for the ghost, but did not see him. Instead, as the last bell stopped ringing, he remembered Marley's words and, lifting his eyes, saw a dark figure coming, like a fog, along the ground towards him.